Okay, welcome everybody to the By Yahweh's Design Chat for the 10th day of May, year 2023. And it's now 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're going to open up the room here fairly quick, just a couple quick announcements. Mostly everybody's looking at Texas, so I'm going to ask Charles and Ella to give us a report since they're down there. And Lane, if he wants to, but mostly we're all concerned about what the real deal is down there in Texas, since we don't know really who to trust anymore. So you gotta have boots on the ground in your own circles, I guess, to figure out what's going on. But A lot of squirrely things, some strange things going on. Again, today my computer shut itself off right in the middle of doing stuff, just shut off. Did a restart. The power didn't shut off. It just went offline and went through a whole restart all on its own, which that's not supposed to happen. So what causes that and everything, I'm not really sure, but... just wild and crazy things, but I really, really would like to hear from. I'll go ahead and ask Charles to start, and then get Ella to kick in here. So, go ahead, Charles, if you can hear me. How are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good, Dan. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear.
All right. Yeah. I'm not as concerned about the immigration issue as a lot of good patriots are. I'm inclined to believe it's more of a symptom of our deeper problem than the underlying cause. But I recognize it's a problem, no doubt. And I know there's a lot of good people down there trying to do as best they can, and no doubt Biden is engineering a disaster there. So that's pretty much all I know about the situation. That Doc Chamberlain, the guy with the cowboy hat and the dog in the pickup, he was the medical professional that was he said no to the vaxes and stuff like that. And I guess he's been involved in the immigration issue down there a lot too. And I've been watching him pretty close, but he seems more concerned about the coronavirus issue right now than, he is concerned about the immigration issue too, I know, but that's basically all that I've been watching on the issue. I'm focused on other issues that I think are much more capable of destroying our country than the immigrants there.
Right. Well, a lot of times when they keep something in front of your face, they're trying to hide other things that they're doing. So Lord knows. I mean, you know, I get all these reports that the White Hats are getting ready to make a move and all this stuff. And it's like, I wish it was true. I don't know if it is true. I wish it was true, but I don't see the evidence. That's the problem with it. You know, so many of these reports, whether they're good or bad, it's tough for us that are out here on the outer edges to know really what's going on. So you have to rely on reports from people you can trust that hopefully are near the area. That Michael Yon guy seems to know what he's talking about. But there again, you know, the CIA has lots of plants. The government has lots of actors. We got bad actors everywhere. They've got trillions of dollars, even though they're not real dollars, but people accept electronic digits as dollars. And so the government has trillions of them. And so they can buy pretty much as many bad actors as they need. That's why it's so easy for them to stage all these events, because They can go in and buy a police chief. They can buy city government. They can buy people in uniform. So, you know, people say, well, how do they get away with all these staged events and false flags? Well, if you got endless money, any of us could do that, because most people will literally do anything for money. And that's what's happening. And it's a shame, because people have no integrity anymore. They just throw money at them. They sell out their businesses. They sell out their factories, their family farms. They sell out. Well, look at the doctors and nurses. How many of them? And I'm ashamed that I've got members of my own family that are in that boat, that for money and popularity, they jumped on the bandwagon and helped perpetuate this complete farce of COVID and everything else. I mean, so it's really a struggle. The scripture says there'd be a famine for the truth. I'll tell you what, it's come home to roost, hasn't it? I mean,
right
when, when a good book tells you something, we often read it and go, yeah, right, sure, yeah, we'll see it maybe, but hey, we're in the middle of it. Everything describing the end of the age, we're smack dab in the middle of it right now. So the famine for food hasn't hit quite yet, but they're sure trying. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit led me to start planting about a year ago, start planting bushes and trees and fruit trees and bushes, and get together with neighbors, because one of my neighbors works at a distribution center for Damari, and so they get some heirloom type fruits come through there and vegetables, and he'll bring a big old bushel basket over once in a while and just give it to me, and then I grow some of my own. So making contact with people to have a sources for meat and vegetables and eggs and stuff like that is certainly a valuable thing to have at this time. But, you know, again, I'm hoping my buddy Kent wanted to get on and talk about some things that he's uncovered here recently. He's retired from the Navy, but he still has, I think, government contracts. So he stays in touch with a lot of his buddies that he was in the Navy with, and things like that, and some of the things that he sees in his travels, and he wanted to talk about them. So if he gets on here, if not, then we'll just reschedule and have him come talk about it at some other time. But some of my friends are invested in these different paper gold things, like the carrot bars, if you guys remember that about 10 years ago, carrot bars where you could own the paper, or you could get these little cardboard pieces with like a tenth of a gram, a half a gram, or 1 gram. I guess 1 gram's worth today about $65, 1 gram of gold. You could get 5 gram cards too. But a lot of people just kept it in paper or on, you know, on a ledger, and now they're scrambling to try to get the actual gold. And I just want everybody to understand that if you don't have it in your possession, you don't own it, okay? Especially today.
Yeah.
So keeping something in somebody else's warehouse or in like what they call paper gold, there has been, I think it was the American, it's called AIM. What is that? The American something media. With that Gabriel and that Michael that invented some software program, they do that program. And they talked about this a long time ago. There's more gold on paper than exists in the earth by a factor of like 100 or 200. It might even be higher now, but this was a couple years ago. So that means if you're holding a certificate that you have X number of ounces of gold, your odds of getting it are 1 in 100. Because if you're not one of the first people that tries to get it, then you're going to be part of the 99 people that are left holding the paper, because there isn't that much gold in the world. So how they get away with this stuff, I mean, is ludicrous to me, because We supposedly have watchdog agencies to make sure charlatans and quacks don't do this stuff, but when the charlatans and quacks are the same people that are sitting in government, you don't really have much of a watchdog. And so they've been able to get away with fractional reserve banking. That's the same thing. They're allowed to loan out 10 times whatever they have in reserves in their actual bank. Well, how can you do that? I mean, that right on the face of it, people should have been up in arms and got their rifles and their pitchforks and put these guys up in trees at the end of ropes. I mean, that's theft. That's, you know, they used to hang horse thieves. What's the difference? Somebody says, I'm going to lend you $100,000 for a house, and the only they got $10,000 in their bank, but they're going to lend you $100,000 and make you pay back $300,000 by the time you pay interest, and they never had that much money in the bank to begin with. What's the difference between that and a horse thief?
Well, if I might, that gets to the issue of commerce. And commerce is all about promises to deliver something at some date in the future. That's what silver certificates were. Paper silver certificates were promises to deliver silver if somebody took the note to the window and asked for silver in exchange for their silver certificate. And so it's just a written promise to deliver a hard asset. But now we've got promises to deliver other promises to deliver. So it's a pyramid scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme where promises are on top of promises. And there is no doubt they're cheating the common people. But probably the worst problem is that the common people are so dumbed down that they don't even comprehend that there's smoke and mirrors deception going on here that's malicious. And they continue trusting these people that are basically raping them. And, you know, we're in a tough situation here, Dan. God doesn't have much to work with. There's not that many people up to speed that have done their homework, that are mature enough in the movement to comprehend what pieces on the chessboard are moving around, what pieces on the chessboard are steady, and how to engineer a battle strategy for dislodging the Ashkenazi Khazars that are related, I believe, to Caesar, who is the head of the Roman Empire. Those Pharisee Jews are working with the Roman Empire, Catholic Church, and they're engineering a lockdown, and they got the Freemasons working with them in that Church of England with Charles, de facto king, coming in there. That's nothing but a moral prostitute, you can tell. And so, my God, we've got differing factions all working together harmoniously that are pure evil, all of them. And we need some blessings from Yahweh to give us light and guidance and protection from this evil. And thanks for the rant. I yield.
Yeah, if anybody else has anything and wants to jump in there, use the ask question button. If you're on a computer, I'm not sure what it is on a phone, but there should be a way to indicate that. I'm looking in the queue right now. Nobody's in there. I should probably look into that, how you do that on a phone. So anybody using a phone, if they know how to do that, tell the other people how to do it. But there has to be some sort of a button on the face there to do that. I did talk to my brother today, who's up in Virginia. He moved down here to Florida about between 3 and 4 years ago, I guess. And I helped him move out of his house, and he's back up there helping family with some issues. And we got talking about how things have changed just in the short period of time he's been down here in Florida. He went back to the town where he used to live, and he said all the stores that he went to today, almost every one of them, the only people in there running the store were black people. And I said the same thing down here in South Florida. It's been that way it started under the Obama abomination, but Trump didn't do anything to fix it. In fact, he bragged about how much he was helping the minorities to make sure they get plenty of work, and never said anything about helping our people ever. So about the time Obama and Trump got done, even down here I noticed where it's heavily Hispanic, they're not even hiring Hispanic down here. They're hiring black, almost exclusively black, as far as the like assistant manager, manager, most of the tellers, most of the help. I don't know what it takes to wake people up. If they got the jobs legitimately, it would be one thing. But nobody's going to tell me that within the span of 7-8 years, all of a sudden all the blacks got smarter and better workers to be better workers than all the rest of us in that 7-year period, because I never saw it the whole time I was in the Air Force. I never saw it the whole time I was in nuclear power. And again, not trying to disparage anybody. I'm just stating facts. All right. The best technicians in the Air Force and in electrical power were always the Caucasian guys. Always were the best. Every now and then you would have somebody who was a non-white that was okay, but he was not the best. The best were always our guys. Every time. And usually the non-white people were okay with that. They realized that our guys were the sharper and better workers, and they considered a privilege to work with us so that they could learn. So they never held it against us. In the Air Force, there were a few blacks that got attitudes, but they had attitudes about everything. All right, but everybody else, from Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, to Cubans, to Hondurans, or whoever else, they were usually very appreciative of just having a job and having somebody that would show them how to do things. So it's not discriminatory to state a fact, at least in my book it's not. Ella says here, the ultimate plan is to replace white people with black people. I'm not sure it's only with black. The main thing is that they're going to displace us. A lot of these people coming across the border, from what I'm hearing, are Chinese. Now, there was a sheriff from Texas that did a short video talking about the fact that the Governor Abbott is lying about what he's doing to secure the border. According to this sheriff, he's not doing anything. And they talked about the fact that Chinese and Chinese weapons are being discovered in shipping containers and all this stuff. Well, I interviewed a guy who was with Customs. This was probably 20 years ago. His name was John Carman. And he was a Secret Service agent, and then he quit the Secret Service to go into Customs, because he felt he could do more help for the country there. And I went to his website, and you can see all the awards that he got for being a very, very good customs agent, off the big drug bust that he was part of and everything else. So I invited him on this, my show, By Always Design, and we had a great interview. And during the interview, I asked him, I said, and this was during Bill Clinton's tenure in the whorehouse. So I asked him, I said, well, what are you finding mostly? Because at that time, when he went to Customs, he was stationed in California. And he said, well, we're finding contraband coming in these big shipping containers quite a bit. And I said, well, what kind of contraband? And he said, well, lots of money, drugs, weapons, and military-aged Chinese men. That was 20 years ago. I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no, that happens quite a bit. And I said, well, how many shipping containers do you inspect? He said, Bill Clinton stopped us at 2%. That means out of every 100 shipping containers coming into this country, the customs people are only allowed to look at two of them. I said, well, okay, you looked at two out of 100. How many out of the two out of 100 had contraband in them? He said 50%. 50% had contraband. Now, my brother is a quality control engineer, and he's a black belt in Six Sigma, if anybody knows what that means, which means he's high up in training for quality control. Now, I was talking to him about that, and what you do to keep the quality of your product up is when you do sampling like the customs guys were doing, if you're doing sampling of 2 out of 100 and you're showing 50% failure rate, then you increase the sampling. You go up to maybe 10 out of 100 and see what happens. I said, so did you guys do that in customs? He said, no, we weren't allowed to go over 2 out of 100. That's it. Even though half the containers we checked had contraband in them. So again, that was 20 years ago. So you're thinking things have gotten better under the communist regimes we've had since then? It also reminds me of when I was part of the Patriot Network. We called it the Patriot Fax Network because there was no internet back then. We used fax machines to send intel back and forth to different Patriot groups. And I was up in the mountains of northern Pennsylvania at that time. And some local hunters came by and told us that they found 4 guys in the woods while they were hunting in camouflage uniforms, and they couldn't speak English. So they held them at gunpoint, and they were talking about what to do with these guys. And the next thing they do, they turned around and they ran off into the woods. Well, these guys didn't want to shoot. They probably should have, but they didn't, and they ran away. So just in my own personal experience, right there's 2 pieces of evidence that says we've had an invasion and a setup for a takeover that's been going on for decades. And now it's coming to the surface. So it's very believable to me that this is much more serious than they're letting on. People now are getting kind of shook up about it, and they're trying to say that maybe it's not so bad. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been hearing about this and seeing this stuff for 2 decades now. Just like when they made it, do you remember when they shut off the national forests, like the Great Smoky Mountain National Forest? My buddy lived in Tennessee, and he sent me a picture of the big sign that goes into it. And right at the bottom of the sign, they had put UN Biosphere. So our national parks are now under the control of the United Nations. I hope people understand why that's not a good thing. And it was about a month or two after he told me about that, there was a story, a national story, where 2 teenagers got lost in the Smoky Mountains National Forest. And the authorities made a big hullabaloo over this, and they called in, like, National Guard and all kind of authorities to hunt for these kids. And we all kind of like, well, wait a minute, what's the big deal? A couple of teenagers got lost. You send some police and maybe some of the local people, and you go find them. Well, they wouldn't let anybody else help out. The military finally found them, and the big part of the story was that when they found them, they didn't even get to see their own parents. The military took them to a special spot for a debriefing. Now, think about that real hard. 2 teenage kids scared out of their minds. Their parents are worried about them. They could have got eaten by a bear, who knows what. And the very first thing these people do is take them to a tent set up for a military debriefing before they can talk to any of their family. Okay, so when you hear about stuff like that and you start putting the pieces together, that's pretty scary. So yeah. How are you?
No doubt. Should I turn off my microphone here?
Well, no. Yeah, if you didn't want to say anything else for now, yeah, go ahead.
Maybe I should let us alone.
Well, Ella doesn't want to talk. She's just putting it in text. I don't know if nobody else has put up the ask question at the moment. So it's an open forum at the moment. So if you had something else you wanted to bring up, then sure, go ahead. Well, oh, Ella does. Now Ella has her hand up. I think you're unmuted already, Ella.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I'm able to talk. I was just using the chat because Charles was talking. He was doing a good job in what he was doing. But I can't really say anything because I'm up near Fort Worth, 25 miles south of Fort Worth, and I'm nowhere near the border. I go nowhere because I have no car. So I can't really tell you anything that's going on in Texas. Because the people I have need, the ones that live here, they all keep to themselves. They're peaceful, quiet, and they don't do anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look like the world exists outside of where I live. If I could turn off my computer and close my door, I'm in a world of my own, and I love that.
Yeah. Well, there was an article that came out today that said... The
Do you have any questions about it?
What's that?
I was going to say, I'm going to leave unless... Never mind, I'll go off.
Okay, you're going to mute yourself? All right, yeah, you just did, all right. Anyway, there was an article that just came out that said the time for us to do nothing is almost over. So no matter where we are in this country, people are going to have to get involved, whether that means some kind of physical involvement or just stop watching so much damn television and everything else and start helping with the people that are on the front lines. I got a phone call from a family in Arizona. This was years ago when I was doing interviews with the Texas, I forget what they called themselves. They were like a Texas militia that were trying to help guard the border because even clear back then they were having marauding groups of these Mexicans and other South Americans coming across. And what they were doing is squatting on these people's ranches just inside the American border, and they would litter, they would tear up the ground, and they would take some of their livestock and butcher it for food. So if it was cattle or sheep or goats or whatever, they would go out and find the carcass after they left where they had stolen some of their cattle or whatever and barbecued them for food. And when they tried to do something about it, the sheriff come out after them instead of the invaders. And again, this was years ago. So this garbage is just continuing to escalate because nobody does a damn thing about anything in this country anymore. It's very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. Ralph says here, this is Ezekiel 38 and 39 coming to fruition, which began in earnest in 1965. The United Nations wet dream is a realm where the white race does not exist anymore. Well, you look at the retards that they put out in charge of the United Nations, and like this Tetros guy, he's a criminal, he's non-white, he's a piece of shit. It's unbelievable. It's also kind of interesting that the Security Council for the United Nations has always been headed by a communist Russian general, almost every single time. So think about that one real good, too. United Nations Security Council headed by a Russian communist general. That's why George Patton, when he was fighting in the Korean War, or no, I'm sorry, it was Douglas MacArthur. Douglas MacArthur had it's called Incheon Bay, which was in North Korea. The Battle of Incheon Bay was one of the most decisive wins for the Americans in the Korean War. And I read the story in his book, how he succeeded at Incheon Bay, because MacArthur figured out that the White House was making the generals go through the United Nations with all their plans. Well, gee, How did the communist Koreans find out what the general's plans were, do you think, when the Security Council was headed by a communist Russian general? So MacArthur and his top brass figured it out. And so what they did is they planned the Incheon Bay invasion completely in secrecy, and they didn't tell anybody in the Pentagon or in Washington, D.C. And so when they made their assault on Incheon Bay, they devastated the Korean army. And the very first people to get pissed off about it was the White House. I think it was Truman, threatened to fire MacArthur because he went around the United Nations. So instead of celebrating a big victory over the communist Koreans, they chastised MacArthur, shamed him, and let the United Nations do the same thing, lambast all of the American troops for what they did. So obviously, stopping communism has never been our goal. Never. It wasn't in the Second World War. It wasn't in the Korean War. The war I participated in, the Vietnam War, it was obvious we weren't meant to win that one either. It was all a show and a joke. There's no way we should ever lose any of these wars if we truly wanted to stop communism, but that's never, ever been the goal. That's what they say the goal is. But for those of us that have been in the military and studied military history, it's pretty easy to see that that's not the goal at all. The goal for the wars is to perpetuate American hegemony and to protect communism. We keep communism alive. It would die on its own except for our money and our protection. So it's all coming back to roost. And maybe this is Yahweh tapping us on the shoulder saying, look, I'm about ready to lower the hammer here. So you better make sure you know whose side you're on, because things are going to get real dicey real soon. The separating of the wheat and the tares, so to speak. So, I'm going to just check the notes here real quick. I think Ralph put something in my notes. Are jumping all over the place. Russia is not for us or their own people. The guy who is Jew-wise lays it out. And he's got a Substack. Let me try to save this so I can send it out to email later on. I can't pronounce their names. Roloslavsky apparently claims, well, we could be lied to about the Russians too. I mean, that wouldn't be so hard to imagine, right? Ella says there's going to be a war here because all the illegals will be every other country's undesirables, and they will be vicious criminals who will rape our white women and kill our white men. And most of our white men today are sniveling cowards. Well, yeah, the bravest in the military anyway are all overseas protecting Jewish interests somewhere outside the country instead of being over here to fight the communists. So, and you know, we predicted this on the show over 10 years ago. We talked about this with several guests like James Lancia, the downtown white police author, Jay, his buddy, another police officer. We talked about the fact that letting all of these immigrants in here, at some point, all they have to do is give them a green light and they have an instant army against the white race. Instant army. And that's exactly what's happened. It's exactly what's happened. So they give them phones. These phones are how they're sending text messages. Some people talked about it in a video today. They're sending messages telling them where to go. They're also putting possibly addresses of dissidents. That's what you and I are now. We're dissidents. People that are standing in the way of the Jewish takeover. Put addresses in there and tell them you got a green light. Nobody's going to stop you. There you go. That's a, what, 5, 10, 15 million man army inside our borders right there. And the white people, because these guys don't have uniforms on yet, and they're not carrying M16s, we think it's just a bunch of poor immigrants trying to come here, which is dumber than rocks. This is an army. So I guess white people aren't going to wake up until they actually put their communist uniforms on and start carrying AK-47s. And then maybe then our people wake up, but I'm not so sure they'll even wake up then. I said it years ago. I'm not sure our people are capable of waking up much anymore. It's like I shake my head every day at the white race and what we've allowed to happen just during my lifetime, and it just drives me crazy. And it started in 1974 when we said it was okay to murder babies. That was bothersome. And then I went into the Air Force and during Vietnam, and what I saw there, that was bothersome. The lies and deceptions and everything else. And then it just got worse after that. Just more and more lies, more and more deception. The more the further down the rabbit hole you go, the more the lies that you discover. And it's just it's disheartening to know that our people are that brain dead. Okay, I got a question here, so let me. Okay, Cody, you should be unmuted, bud.
What's up, everybody? How's it going tonight? First of all, hope everyone's doing well. I don't know. I'm just going to speak my mind here a little bit. I really don't talk much. Obviously, there's not much to talk. I never have been. I've been more of an observer. But I think that people aren't really doing nothing, because I really believe, like, what I've seen and observed, that they're still comfortable. The ones that, you know, like, a lot of people, I mean, they're comfortable. I mean, they have their TV, they have their, you know, their beer, their job, it may suck, but, you know, they're still getting a paycheck. So I really don't think that they've had the squeeze put on them enough that they really start giving a crap. I mean, I think they see what's going on, but at the same time, they're like, you know, whatever, not yet. They're not, you know, it's not like they're busting my door down, you know, and saying you got to do this or else you're getting dragged out to the gulag sort of thing. And I asked my, you know, I asked myself, and I asked the Heavenly Father a lot. I said, what do we do? What do we do in this situation? You know, and yeah. I haven't had an answer yet, but I keep asking, what do we do? And it's, you know, so basically I've started raising meat birds. I've had egg layers, you know, egg chickens for since I was a kid, so that's nothing new for me, but I'm starting to do the meat birds. I'm starting to forge knives, stuff like that. I don't know if that means anything or not, but, you know, I got a forge now, so I've been starting to make knives and stuff like that. I'm just stuff to keep busy, I guess, you know, there's always something to do. But I don't know. I mean, does anyone else have any just a suggestion? Like, what do we do in this situation right now? What's the answer? And that's all. I mean, it's just me, you know, what I've been feeling and thinking for quite a long time.
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one, Cody. I mean, a lot of us have been praying constantly. It's like, why did the Father start me into this minimalist period here for the last 3-4 years, where I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff? It also, about a year ago, got me interested in learning about growing food again, even though I grew up on a farm when I was a young person. But my dad and mom were in charge of what to plant, where to plant, what time to plant it, and also I knew the nuts and bolts of planting, but I didn't know that much about which were the best plants and all that. So now I'm learning all that stuff. Then I learned about 20 years ago, I guess, around 2004, I started taking classes to become a naturopathic professional, and not to make money at it, but just so I would have the knowledge of herbs and herbology and muscle testing and how to make tinctures and all that stuff. And, you know, I think he leads us that way. I believe that, you know, we're doing that. These zombies out here aren't doing that. So I believe he's leading us as children into learning these things that we can at some point become very self-sufficient. Just like I sent that thing out about what I harvested yesterday just out of my little garden. And again, I live in an RV park. So anybody that's ever been in an RV park, you don't have much yard. Okay. But in the small yards that we have, I was able to dig out and plant several trees. I've got two neem trees. I've got a moringa tree, highly medicinal, both of them are. And I've got all kind of vegetables growing. I got a papaya that I'm starting to germinate. I want to get a mango, a lemon tree, and some others. Okay, so what's out of the blue, what's leading me into doing all that? What's leading all of us to reach out and start forming networks, talking to each other? I believe it's a leading of the Holy Spirit. So even though we see all this chaos around us, I believe personally that he's going to put a shield, as long as we're not silly and stupid, he's going to shield us from a lot of this garbage. And at some point, he's going to open a door. At least that's what I'm working towards, building a community somewhere. I'm not sure how that's going to come out, but that's what's in my heart. I want to build a community where people who want to get out of Babylon can come there, and it might only be a tiny house, you know, no palaces, but there, everybody would have enough space for a small home, and a big, large central building would be a community center, and we could work on cars there, we could process our vegetables and fruits and animals there, have a big a common kitchen, all that. And get back to living what I call like the Amish, to where we look within ourselves and do like what you're doing. You know, we're learning all the skills for being homesteaders, because we should never have left the family farm. We should have stayed like my ancestors where I grew up. Most of them are still in the same county they were born in. They've never lived outside of the county that they've been born in. Most all of my relatives back in Pennsylvania. And yet, you know, my father took us out, and so we grew up with this being nomads and moving and making friends and starting over. We thought that was normal. But all my relatives didn't. They stayed back again where they were born. So all of their aunts and uncles, their children, their grandchildren, they're all within 10, 15 miles of each other. So they can help, still help each other out, like that used to be in the old days. And personally, I think that's where we're going to have to get back to, is circling the wagons and learning to be independent. Because really, what we're learning is we don't need man-made government. We don't need their money. We don't need their pharmacies. Okay, that's one thing that's really interesting, is we're learning that everything they told us not to eat, and they call it weeds. In fact, there's a website, Eat the Weeds, beautiful website. Virtually everything they said was a weed in your yard and got you to put poisons on your yard to get rid of it. Almost every one of them is medicinal, including dandelion. All right? Highly medicinal, and yet you're killing it. So you can grow grass that's of no benefit to anybody except maybe a goat or a sheep that could eat that grass and turn it into something useful. But as far as you, it's no good at all. So, you know, again, we get back to a simpler lifestyle, living closer to nature and closer to nature's God, our Father Yahweh. And I believe that's how we're going to come through the storm, because the storm's coming. You can feel it. This reminds me of George Washington's prophecy. This reminds me of Ezekiel and the other prophets that said at some point there would be a flood come in after the woman and her child, alluding not only to Messiah, but to the followers of Messiah. That's us. And the dragon, the enemy, the adversary is sending in this flood of aliens amongst all of the white nations. It's happening everywhere. And at some point, if the prophets' translations are true, at some point, the earth is going to open up and swallow these guys up. And I've thought about that for years and years. What did that mean? When he says the earth will open up and swallow these people up, to me, it's an allegory of mass dying, mass burials of these invaders. Now, what kills them, the prophets don't tell us. It just says the earth opens up and swallows them up. So I don't know if it's a contagion. I did see a prophecy by somebody about 15, 20 years ago. His vision was that these invaders are going to come over here thinking it's going to be a cakewalk, and they're coming from other countries. And for instance, those that are up in Canada, they're not used to dealing with the black flies. And I've got friends of mine that live in Canada, and they've told me that if you don't take precautions, there are some areas of Canada where the black flies could literally kill you. And the same thing could be said for mosquitoes, too. They swarm you by the thousands. And, you know, just a couple bites here and there you can handle. But when they swarm you by the thousands and thousands, it literally will kill you. So his theory was that they're going to get bogged down in, like, torrential rain, so a lot of their equipment's going to be bogged down in the mud. They're going to have to deal with the flies, the mosquitoes, and other natural things that they're just not used to dealing with. There'll be infighting, jealousies and infighting, so some of them will kill each other, much like in biblical times, the enemies of Jacob, Israel. There were times that they turned on each other. Yahweh caused, they got paranoid, they got schizophrenic, whatever, and didn't trust each other, do like Stalin did. He ended up murdering a lot of the same people that helped him come to power, because these people are mentally ill. So, you know, we don't really know. So our job really is just to stay positive and stay focused on survival, stay focused on each other, and let the Father work it all out. I yield. Anybody got anything else? Let me check the notes here real quick. What we got here? Jonathan and David says here, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 13 through 17, and Deuteronomy 28:1 is a solution. There is no knowledge of Yahweh in the land. Amen. Let me look up that 2 Chronicles chapter 7 here real quick. Starting at 13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules. Amen. That's what makes us different. If you think about it, what sets us apart from the zombies? True, our faith in the Father, but a lot of them claim that they're, quote, believers or whatever. But it's the people that actually keep his statutes and commandments, because most of the church world doesn't, right? They say it was all done away with. They listen to that lying piece of garbage called a preacher and think it was all done away with when nothing could be further from the truth. Okay, I got Jonathan and David here. So I think I tried to unmute you. See if you can say something, Jonathan. Okay, now it looks like you're muted. I unmuted you, but you're muted at your end, apparently. Let me check the chat here. Oh, in the chat box for those on their computers, whatever, is the link for the last conference we had that Charles hosted, if anybody wants to check that out. And Jonathan and David has a link here on BitChute. I'm going to copy all these, and I'll send them out to everybody by email, so you don't have to worry about trying to capture them. Let's see here. All right. So, again, open forum, open mic. Somebody got anything else they want to discuss or need information about or anything like that?
Well, I actually have something as well. I don't know if this is going on in any other state, but up here in New York, I learned recently by a few people that recently had children in the hospitals, they would not allow them to have a baby in the hospital unless both parents got the whooping cough vaccine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just discussed it because they just went out and did it anyway. They didn't even ask, what kind of harm would this do to my child? You know, what's in the damn vaccine? Anything like that? Nothing. They just said, "Gotta go ahead, all right, whatever. I'm gonna do it because I want to have the baby in the hospital." So, it's like what is it called? Their go along to get along, I guess. And it just reminds me of how many of these people took this damn COVID death shot and they didn't even question it. You know, question anything, the ingredients in it. You know, what are the side effects? Nothing. They just went right out there and, yeah, I'll get it, blah, blah, blah. So it befuddles me.
It is befuddling. My brother has a buddy that he worked with, and they're both retired now, and his buddy lives near him, and he wanted that vaccine so bad he drove from the west coast of Florida clear over to the Miami area on the east coast, so that he could be one of the first to get it. So just because you have a fairly high IQ and lots of money doesn't make you smart, that's for sure. So people do crazy things. I've said for years that people should get their children out of the public schools and that we should do homeschooling. And we should also do home birthing with midwives. Find a qualified midwife and that's the system. Just, you know, again, we got to separate ourselves and declare ourselves separate, just like the Amish do. And be willing to take a small risk. It's a small risk, but everything in this world has got some risk to it. I mean, good God. Your chances of getting in a car wreck are pretty significant, but nobody's suggesting you don't drive your car. But we let a little bit of fear get into us, and we're running out there begging the do all kind of crap to us. Jonathan and David, your mic is not. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know where I was going to start, but basically, We need to remove all the titles and everything else from our mouths. There is no Jesus and all that. There's only Yahweh. And as long as people are calling on Jesus and the Lord and all that, he's not going to hear anything. Until we turn back to Yahweh, we get down and we tell him we're sorry and we turn around and repent like we're supposed to and follow his ways, nothing is ever going to change. And it goes to salvation, that salvation is all about turning around, turning back to the Father. And all these churches have everybody so confused that you've got to ask Jesus into your heart, making his gift not a gift anymore, putting you in control, that you command him to come in your life whenever you call upon him. And then they're telling these people that you get baptized, brother, you got the Holy Spirit, and you're clothed in Christ's glory and all this other trash, and it's complete bullshit. me personally, from what I've gathered, I don't believe baptism has anything to do with being dunked in water. The baptism is our birth. Because if you go to John 3 and you go to the Nicodemus conversation and born from above against or versus born again, it's all about being born of the Spirit. You have the Spirit at birth. You're formed in your mother's womb. Yahweh knew you before you were born. Therefore, you have the Spirit when you come into this world, just as he did when he came in a flesh body. It's no different than when he put his spiritual seed in Mary and became flesh. It's the exact same thing, except for he didn't have to go through the process of the sexual intercourse because he's the Father, and he could directly insert himself because he forms us in the womb. So why would he need a seed to insert himself in his own seed line? And until we turn back to Yahweh, nothing's ever going to change. And even within, you know, racial identity, and I don't like to call Christian identity. I don't like to ascribe to anything that's religious because Yahweh hates religion. All religion goes back to Baal and everything else. And we should be separate. We should be different. We shouldn't claim anything to do with what he hates, and that's why we're getting taken to the woodshed. And all these things were written. And, I mean, he's the one who blinded us. And he's going to let us keep going to the woodshed until it's his time to perform his works. And things are going to get way worse with the invaders. They're going to come in and rape, rob, and steal even more. And people still won't get it. And, you know, you talk to people of your own race, and they're the biggest haters there are. I don't have any near the problems I do. I mean, I don't go talk to anybody of the other races, but, you know, I work with them and stuff. But I talk to people of our race, and they get violently angry if you try to tell them any kind of truth. And they shun you and hate you for speaking the truth, no matter what that truth is, whether it has to do with Yahweh, the situation of, you know, anything from the invasion to different things of what's going on politically and what they're doing to our children and transgenders and all this stuff. And, I mean, you can even go and show them from the Jewish sources that transgenderism is Jewish and the eight genders in the Talmud. And they'll call you anti-Semite and a racist and a Nazi and everything else because the programming is so strong. And like Yuri Bezmenov said, that once the demoralization is complete, you can show people every bit of evidence there is and lay everything out in front of them, and they'll deny it and they'll violently oppose you because they've been fully demoralized and brainwashed into thinking what the other people wanted them to think. But the most important thing is we have to turn back to Yahweh and Yahweh only and call upon his name, because that is what he says over and over and over and over. And when you get into the books and you do the research and everything, every single thing in there backs up 100% that Yahweh is our Messiah and our anointed and not Jesus. He's not the Son of God. He is Almighty Yahweh, the Father himself, because we know in Luke 3:38 that Adam's the Son of God. Yes, he's a unique Son of God because he had to come in his own flesh and blood and of the vehicles, the tabernacle in the flesh, because he's not going to come tabernacle in the other races. He didn't come to redeem them. He only came for Israel, as per Matthew 10:6 and 15:24. And, you know, we just have to realize that and do the best we can to do our job. All we have to do, we're not out here to convert anybody because you can't convert race. And we're not sent to the other people. And we just have to keep telling our people the truth. They're going to hate us, but we're not to convert anybody. Like I liken it to being Johnny Appleseed. That is our job. We're just to go out and spread the seed out, and whatever kind of ground it falls on, But after that, it's all on Yahweh. All we have to do is plant the seed. But that's pretty much what I had in mind. And then I did post the lecture, The Latter Days, because that's from 2006. And it literally is going over the Mexican invasion and stuff back then and talking about Gog and Magog and all the different different scenarios and stuff. And virtually everything that's covered and discussed is happening right now on steroids. And you see these pictures of these invaders. It literally looks like all the European pictures you see, you know, from way back when. And then I look up the migrants. Something for pictures, and it pops up the 2015 migrant crisis in Europe, where like 1.2 million of invaders come in, and that's no different than what's going on now. And we've probably had more illegal criminal invaders come in the last couple years than, you know, Europe had then, with all the, you know, Africans and everybody else.
Yep, good point. All good points. Because we've said that for years. It says even in the Ten Commandments, you know, there's only one Elohim God. That's the Father, Yahweh. In fact, Yahshua's name means Yahweh saves. Yah saves.
Yep, so, and then if you go to Isaiah and everything, Isaiah 43:11, I know very specifically that, and if you go to 10, it says, you are my witnesses, and the whole purpose of us being here is to witness, because without two or more witnesses, he can't bring judgment. And that's what it's all about, is bringing in judgment and then bringing in the kingdom, because he's already the king. He's already on the throne, anointed and everything. All he's waiting for is for his time to come take his throne. It's no different than David and Saul. David was anointed when he was just a boy, and he was a king the whole time he was in there playing the harp for Saul, and could have taken the throne at any time legally, but he didn't, because he was in there to learn, you know, how to be a king and how everything functions and stuff. That's how Yahweh put him in there. But it's the same situation, that he was anointed while he was in here, while he was here in the flesh by, I don't know her name, you know, the lady who poured the perfume on his head, and the Jews are like, oh, how dare you waste this expensive perfume? And, you know, he's just waiting for us. It all boils down to, he just wants us to seek him. Something from the Judeo minister I've been on his top lately, Hebrews 11:6. I don't know it off the top of my head, but it basically said something about faith isn't the most important. The most important thing is seeking out Yahweh and going after him and following what he wants us to do and focusing on him, and everything else will take care of itself, because if we're focusing on him and his laws, none of this would have ever happened, because we would have been a separate people. We'd have been amongst our own. We wouldn't have formed alliances and everything with all the Mongol nations. We wouldn't have given them all of our foreign aid and money and assistance, and we would have spent it on our own people. And something I read before I came to work was about not taking any oaths. And I believe that was in James maybe 5 or something. I'm not sure off the top of my head. I sent it to Melissa, but, you know, we're not even supposed to take any oath. The only oath we're supposed to have is yes or no on our word, and let it stand on that. And everything we do is 100% contradictory to that. You go to court, you got to swear on the Bible. You go to, you know, to be in government or whatever, a police officer, a firefighter, you got to swear some kind of oath. So everything we are told to do in the present time is literally wrong.
Yep, that's true. That's James 5, verse 12. In fact, I think I'm going to read the verse services that you just referred to. Go ahead.
And something else about James 5, I want to say it's around 7, but if you take that to 2 Timothy 2 and 5 through 7, that tells you who the husbandman is, or it tells you about the husband being the partaker of the first fruit. And it also says that he will give you all, I believe it says it'll tell you he'll give you all understanding or something of to that effect. And if you take that back to John 15:1, it tells you that Yahweh is the husbandman. And also in James 5, that's all, it's all about Yahweh, because you see Lord, and it's all referring back to Job and things of like that. Like, people don't understand that the Old Testament was quoted so much in the Bible, because unless they have a study Bible of some kind, or a Bible that has, you know, the proper notations and stuff that tell you to either go back to the Old Testament, or like I have a couple that all the Old Testament things is all in bold capitalized letters, so you know that it's referring to the Old Testament, that Yahweh's all throughout the whole New Testament, but people don't know it because they, all the word games that they play, like the Gentiles and the Lord and everything, and they've got our people out here worshiping Satan and Baal, saying, praise the Lord, praise Jesus, praise God. And at the end of the day, all that goes back to pagan heathen gods. Even the word God itself, if you go to, I want to say it's Isaiah 65-ish or something. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. But the word God goes back to G-A-W-D and G-A-D, which is a Babylonian deity of fortune. So in every way, they've got us blaspheming our father and further infuriating him. And all he wants is us to turn around. And that's all we got to do is just say, hey, we're messing up down here. We're sorry. We want to be healed. Like, we want to follow you. Help us. And if we start earnestly seeking him and changing our ways, he does hear you. Like, I've only come into this in the last 2 years. Before this, I had nothing to do with any kind of religion or anything. I was just out living how I live. And since I found Yahweh and have been seeking him, and the more I learn and the more I seek him, the more I see him every single day and all the little things he does. And if we take the time to look while we're seeking him, he shows himself to us and all the little things he does, even in the bad things the things that we think are bad, he works his way through. Like, I had a situation at work where I was going for a training position just to make some more money and stay on the shift that I was at. And I got denied. And by getting denied, basically I have an opportunity to get the exact same position on third shift and making $5 an hour extra instead of making an extra $3 an hour. And the reason I didn't get my promotion, I was told, was because of my attendance and my belief.
Yep, all things work to the good for those that are called according to his purpose, right?
Yep, but it's just all about, we have to seek him. And I've never experienced anything like this in my life. And, you know, there is no going back. Once you see the truth, you can't go back to living a lie. I mean, you could, but you're going to be extremely miserable. It'll be like Jonah, you know, and that's how I look at it for myself. I don't want to be Jonah. I don't want to run away and get swallowed up by the fish because I didn't listen. I'd rather just put my head down and listen and do what we got to do. All of everybody's, you know, duties and gifts are different. It's all a personal thing. But we have to do what we can with what we have, you know. If you're around if you have children, teach them about Yahweh and the right things and expose the lies, or, you know, we're to bless our people. And that's where the love's supposed to go, and that's where all the preachers and stuff get going off. Oh, it's all love, love, love. Yeah, it's all love, love, love to love your race. But it's not all love, love, love for the evil. You're supposed to hate the evil, and you're supposed to expose the evil. And that's what we're here for, is to be the witnesses, expose the evil, and to bring in the kingdom. I mean, that's what Adam was here for. He was the administrator here, taking care of everybody. That's what Yahweh put him here for. And when he listened to Eve and they committed their transgression of whether he slept with Satan or there was Lilith or whatever happened, we know that Cain came from Satan and Eve, and they were race mixing, and that was, you know, the transgression. They broke the commandment kind after kind. And, you know, everybody thinks that death is the punishment. They don't understand that the death wasn't physical. I mean, it was physical, because they came physical beings. They lost their glory that clothed them. That's how they knew that they were naked. And that, I mean, that's where we are, that we're just here naked until Yahweh wakes us up, because at the end of the day, it's not our decision. It's up to him. And we get clothed in his truth until, you know, that day when we get our glory back. Our clothing is his truth. When we bind ourselves to his truth, his ways, the laws, statutes, and follow those, because all of them, it's all for our benefit. It's all for personal health. It's for government. I mean, it covers every aspect of our lives, 700 and however many laws, instead of all the millions of laws that we have, you know, through all of our governments and everything else. I mean, you got your city codes, your little Providence codes, and every different thing that there's so many different laws, you don't even, you're breaking some law at some point when you just stepping out of your house. But, I mean, that's pretty much all I got. But it's basically just, we have to turn back to Yahweh and understand that there's only Yahweh. And the one of the biggest links to me that linked it up was learning of Isaiah 41:4, where he says, I am the first and I am with the last. And then you take that to Revelation 1, and you go to 17 and 18, and if you got a red letter Bible, it's Jesus, or, you know, what they tell you is Jesus, and it says, I am the first, and I am the last, and I became dead and became alive, telling you that it's Yahweh, because he was the first, and he said he's going to be with the last. And then when he says, I became dead and came back to life, that right there tells you that he was our anointed Messiah that came, because he's the only one that defeated death. And then that right there takes you back to the Second Timothy, because Yahweh's the husbandman. And it says that the husbandman's to enjoy the first fruits. And who enjoyed the first fruits of the resurrection? Yahweh.
Yeah, very good. I didn't catch all those verses, but I got most of them here. I'm going to read them before we close. We got a few minutes left here. But very good exposition there, bud. And we've talked about it for years. Organized religion, the Father hates it. He denounces ritualism, organized religion. He denounces it all. And certainly centralized, anything centralized he doesn't like. So that's communism. So,
can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. In our biblical book of Numbers.
Hold on one sec. I got to make sure I got this off.
Yeah, go ahead, Charles.
Okay, thanks. In our biblical book of Numbers, Torah law, pretty much the whole book is talking about how Yahweh Jehovah organized the men of Israel to go to war, to be ready to war, to organize the men of Israel militarily. Okay? That's biblical Torah law history showing how Yahweh wants his people to organize the men to be prepared to do spiritual and physical battle. And if you look at that book of Numbers, the totals of the armies of all of the 12 tribes are repeatedly given. Apparently at different times in history, there were different tallies of how many soldiers each tribe had, but they always, they usually end in 100, like 18,700 or 18,000 or 24,300 or something like that. Sometimes they end in a 50. Okay. And that shows that in the book of Numbers, the organizing of the military process was based on that Exodus 18 model for all of the community organizing and judging justice, administering justice in our own local communities. And there under, it was kind of like the Switzerland model where the military is the organized people and they're all organized to self-govern. They got their full armament in their homes. And when the alarm is given, they all grab their guns and they all form their own smaller communities. And then the smaller communities, if necessary, they build together to the larger communities immediately and promptly. And they get ready to address whatever kind of hostile force is messing with the larger community. One of the links I posted earlier in the chat here explains like an 18-page document I've written explaining how all of that is part of our constitutional common law tradition. Our Protestant Christian common law is firmly rooted in the ancient biblical Torah law. And the only way that could have happened is Jesus and his Christian followers followed the Israelite Torah law and preserved it in our Anglo-American common law Protestant Christian heritage. So I think that the solution is right at us, right before us, if we can just develop a collective resolve that this is the model in Exodus and Numbers for how we are to organize our men militarily to confront the devil worshipers that are presently in control of most of the government all across the USA and physically take the power back to for Yahweh, for God's kingdom on this earth. I yield.
Yep, very good. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and read these verses that were referenced during our discussion there with Jonathan and David. And then I'm going to close this out with prayer, unless anybody has anything else. Did you have anything further, Charles?
No, I'm good, Dan. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to just go ahead and good discussion tonight, by the way, for everybody. I'm going to go ahead and read these and close this in prayer. And then don't forget on Sunday morning when I do the Sunday morning talk, at the end of it, I always open it up for open forum. So if there's anything we forgot about today, we could pick it up on Sunday morning, or it can wait to next week and do it on Wednesday night. if things get dicey or whatever, and we need to do this more often, get together and have these family chats and whatnot, we can schedule one at any time. So if somebody has a issue that comes up or a special need or anything like that, we can take care of that. Let's see. Okay. People are asking Jonathan and David if you have contact information. I don't know if you want to share that in the chat or not. But if you're open to that, some of the people here are asking for that. So Isaiah 45 verses 5-7, I am Yahweh and there is no other. Besides me, there is no other Elohim God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that my people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am Yahweh who does all these things. And even in the Ten Commandments, like I said, he very clearly states that there is only one Elohim God. Also in Isaiah 33, verse 22, it says very clearly that that he will be our Savior. He's our King, our Judge, and our Lawgiver, and he will be our Savior, not somebody else. The modern-day church world just sort of glosses over that. Jonathan and David put his email address in there. If for the folks, if you're wanting it, go ahead and copy it down there. I have it in my email account, but I didn't know that was Jonathan and David. So let me take just a second here so I can get this logged. Very good. So keep our family growing. So let's see, where did I leave off here? Here, Isaiah 43, verse 10 and 11. You are my witnesses, declares Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen. That's funny. They keep saying it's we do the choosing. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no Elohim God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior. So Isaiah 43:11 backs up Isaiah 33:22. Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to Yahweh God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hallelujah. We've said for a long time, with all the craziness going on, the safest place to be is in the relationship with our Father. James 5, verse 12, above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. And finally, Isaiah 41:4, who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first, and with the last, I am he. So, very good. So, again, it was a good discussion. Let's see if there's anything else on here. Okay, very good. So, let me close this in prayer, and then we'll say goodnight. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this chance to have fellowship. Even though we're many, many miles apart through the technology, we're allowed to communicate with each other real time, and we thank you for that blessing. We appreciate the fact that the Holy Spirit was obviously with us here tonight, and for the input by all the folks that contributed. We just pray that it was a blessing and uplifting message for our people here live and for those that listen to the archive on the website. We know that these are perilous times. You told us they were going to come, but you also told us to not be fearful, and so we won't be. We look forward to whatever it is that's coming, because we know that you are the author of it, and it's for our benefit and for the good of this world. We just pray that you will keep us in mind, lift us up by thy Spirit, forgive us our sins and shortcomings, and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always we ask for protection from our enemies. And we ask this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.